Today we start a new topic. Today the next lesson we will develop methods for solving non-linear systems of equations. The relevance of this problem, particularly in this course, an important instance is when you minimize a function defined in R to the power n. Minimization of f a real valued function defined in R to the power n. Necessary condition, as you know, is given by the stationarity condition. The gradient of f is imposed to be equal to zero. This is, in general, a non-linear system of equations. We will proceed in this way. We will give general preliminary results on fixed point on methods based on fixed point iterations. In detail, we will give more specific results regarding the most used, when it's possible to use it, the most used method, which is the Newton-Raphson method. For those of which remember the basic result regarding methods for solving single scalar equations, they will see a strict analogy between the scalar case and multivariate keys. In the scalar case, we have only one equation. We use the same notation, there will be no ambiguity. Here, scalar equation, zero number. Here, a vector of equations or functions. Vector. Here we are in the space R to the n. In the scalar case, generally the given equation is transformed into another kind of equation suitable for suggesting iterative schemes. Your equation written in the form f equal to 0 in the form x equal to g of x. This passage can be made in many, many ways. Analogously, we will search an equivalent system, non-linear system, equivalent to the given one, of the form x equal to g of x. In this case, also g is a multivariate function. In the scalar case, you will find the index above. A sequence, a scalar sequence, converging, if convergence occurs, to the solution if some solution exists, say alpha, alpha, the solution satisfies the given the equation in the form x equal to g of x. Analogously, we have a vector sequence of the same form. The new iterate is defined as the function g computed in the previous iterate. Also, in this case, we desire to have convergence. In this case, the convergence is the convergence of a sequence of vectors. So, the convergence must be can be expressed in terms of some norms. Some norm it is different the choice of the norm. In the scalar case, we can express the convergence of this scalar sequence to alpha as the convergence to zero of the sequence of the modulus of difference x super I minus alpha. In this case, we will refer to some norm, some vector norm. The choice is indifferent, converging to zero. A last remark, it is natural to see the correspondence between the Newton method in the scalar case and its equivalent in the case of a system of equations. The preferred name is Newton-Raphson. The restriction of this method to the scalar case is exactly the Newton method. In the scalar case, you have that the function g is defined as x, so x, here is x super I minus 1, minus f computed in the previous iteration divided by the first derivative of f, of the function f. Again, in the previous iteration, so this means that the function g is defined as x minus f divided by f prime, the derivative. What happens in the non-linear case? We have that at the start from g. G is chosen as x, the vector x, minus the vector f, multiplied on the left side by the inverse of the matrix J is the right name. Who is J? J is the Jacobian matrix of F.
J. Jacobian matrix of F.
The T is the matrix of the first order derivatives of the function, of the vector function F. So we have that each row of J is the gradient of the corresponding component of F. With this choice, we find that the new iterate is expressible in terms of the previous, as the previous minus the inverse of this matrix computed mx super I minus 1 multiplied by the vector fx in the same f of x in the same iterate. Well, this is the framework. It is immediate to realize that apart from the definition, the terminology, the most difficult question to cope with is the convergence, as in the scalar case. The theoretical result that we will study all regard the question of convergence. Example which is exactly one of the examples you will find in the PDF file, which shows, this is a very simple example, shows a possible way to transform the system of for n equal to 2, two equations in two variables from the form f equal to 0, which means in the case n equal to 2, f 1 f2, variables are 2 equal, this is the general form of the system. A particular system in this case, say the first equation minus 4 by the second equation plus x1 plus x2 minus 2 equal to 0. We are given this system. The first point is to establish, to state the existence of some solutions. This can be made by graphic methods, as in the scalar case. This is possible, it's not very complicated in the case of n equal to 2, since these two equations can be seen as the equations of two curves. in the plane. Which, in this case, we are lucky, are immediately to be drawn, because the first is a circle and the second is a straight line. We know that the possible real solution, an implicit remark, in this case we are no more in the space C, in the complex space C to the N, we are dealing with real numbers. So if there is some solution, we will see it in the plane or in the space R to the N. The so-called graphic separations pass through the drawing of the circle represented by the first equation, which is a circle of center 2, 0. This one is 2. And the straight line graphic of the curve of represented by the second equation is that straight line. We see two solutions. In this case, due to the simplicity of the example, it would be easy to explicitly determine the two solutions, alpha and beta, which are these two, let us represent it as points of the plane instead of vectors, but it is the same. So, and beta is beta should be this vector, so we have this point. Well, at this point we use the example only to see how we can obtain a system of the form x equal to gx in one of the possibly infinite way in which this can be done. If we algebraically transform the first equation in this one, we get x1 from this term, and from the second equation we have to get x2. The first equation must be of the form x1 equal to g x1 x2. The second has to be of the form x2 equal to something. In this case, we have minus x2 plus or minus plus 1, plus 2. This is a possible equivalent system of the second form. For the moment, let us stop here with this example.
And we turn to the matter of convergence.
We will call,
we will denote
as the matrix H of X
the Jacobian matrix of G.
J was the Jacobian matrix of F in the Newton-Raphson method. In general, when we consider the system in this form, we will invoke the first order derivatives of G. We construct a matrix, so the entry of indices I and J of this matrix will be who? The first order derivative of G I with respect to X J computed, this will be a function computed in X. The main result, the main general result for convergence is one of the various formulations of the fixed point theorem. Here we give a formulation of this theorem in the case of a system when the infinite norm is used. The condition, as I told you before, is given with respect to some vector norm, and as we will see soon, with respect to some matrix norm. We have foreseen that matrices will be involved in the conditions for convergence. The statement of the fixed point theorem in R to the power n expressed in terms of infinite norm. The hypothesis: alpha is a solution, of the system expressed in the second form, so we have alpha equal to G of alpha. S is a set, is a special set, is a neighborhood of alpha of radius rho with respect to the infinity norm. So what does this mean? This means S is contains the vectors x such that the infinity norm of difference is less than or equal to rho. You recognize here in the scalar case a closed interval
of the form
alpha minus rho alpha plus rho. Well, we are giving the assumptions that required for convergence, sufficient assumptions, that the partial derivatives of first order derivatives of G, if you prefer, or all the components of G exist and are continuous function in S. This is means that the matrix H is made of continuous functions. The fundamental condition for this theorem is that the infinite norm of the matrix, the Jacobian matrix H, is bounded, strictly bounded by one in S. The last condition is that the starting point belongs to S. If you translate all these conditions into the scalar case, you obtain the well-known conditions for the fixed point iterations in R that you, most of you, already know. The consequence of all this is the convergence. The proof we will show some kind of detail on the type of convergence, because we will prove by induction, as in the scalar case, that the sequence of the infinite norm, defined by the infinite norm of this difference, is bounded by weak inequality lambda. I will say you who is lambda raised to the power I by the radius multiplied by the radius of the set S. Who is lambda? Lambda. We define lambda for the sake of the proof as the maximum of the infinity norm of the Jacobian matrix, the maximum computed referred to the set S. This maximum certainly exists. Why? Because H of X is continuous and S is bounded and closed. it is a compact set. So by the Weierstrass theorem, we know that a continuous function, we have here n squared continuous functions, have all maximum and minimum over a compact set. So this lambda exists, and it is bounded 2 by 1 by this hypothesis. The proof is short. The idea is the same used in the scalar case. We want to prove this. It must be clear that from this immediately convergence we have convergence because this scalar sequence converges to zeros because lambda is less than one, strictly less than one, rho is a constant. So this sequence converges to zero and this mean convergence. This relation, so only this relation has to be proven, in which way? The technique is, as you guess, the inductive technique. Induction over the step index. By proof, by induction on I. For I equal to zero, the basic step, all is clear, because we would prove that this difference in norm is less than this. This is simply the radius of the set S, the interval, the multi-interval, if you prefer to call it in this way. And this is true by the choice of the starting point. Starting point has been chosen in the multi-interval S. For the other values of I, we assume that this is true, the induction assumption. The inequality star true until I. We consider the value I plus 1. We write the difference, but the difference can be written as it is exactly the same development that can be made in the scalar case. So here we have G computed in xi. Alpha is the solution, that is the fixed point. So alpha is equal to g of alpha. In the scalar point, in the scalar case, here the mean value of theorem was used. Now we have to use its equivalent in the multivariate case. That is, let us write the mean value theorem for the component with index r of this difference of functions. In the scalar case, we have only one derivative. Here, we have n derivatives of g sub r. And in this case, instead of a single product, we have a scalar product
of what? Of the gradient of gr in point psi
with an index that must be r,
multiplied,
scalarly multiplied, by the vector
difference, which is a vector,
the difference between the arguments of the two instances of gr. We expand this product. So we have a sum containing values of the partial derivatives of g. This is equal to the sum for s from 1 to n gr, gs in this is a vector multiplied by the difference of the entries between the entries with the same index of x and r. Now we must bound all this. First, with the moduli, as usual, the modulus of a sum is less than the sum of moduli. Just remember, who is the infinity norm of the vector? The infinity norm of the vector, which vector? X super I minus alpha is defined as the maximum of this moduli. So here we can bound all this number with the infinity norm of this vector, and we can put this infinity norm outside the sum. So the sum is left, the sum over these values, I write them again. Here we have S, sorry. With the moduli. Now we note that these values lie on the row of index r of h computed in C inside xi sub sub r.
So the last, we can give another bound of this quantity. Because we remember that the infinity norm of a matrix is just the maximum of these sums. So if we have less than the infinity norm of this difference by the infinity norm of H computed in psi sub r. This is true, this is what we can obtain for the components of index, say, gr, of index. We can immediately also substitute this value with the maximum over the set S. So summarizing, we have found that X I plus 1 component energy of index R minus alpha R modulus less than the infinity norm of the previous difference by lambda. If this is true for R starting from 1, for all the components, the entries of this vector, we can also write that the maximum of this difference, I write it over, obeys to the same inequality. Now, the final step of the proof, let us use the induction hypothesis, which says that this difference is less than lambda raising to I, same index exponent by rho, multiplied by lambda. So we have found what we wanted, the inequality. When I put here, when I consider the norm, I drop out the indices, we have proved what we want. The difference is less than the right power of lambda multiplied by rho. So I tell it again, the scheme, the idea is exactly what we knew about the scalar case. The only difference is that all is transposed, is transformed, is referred to the case of to the end. Remark, we will continue with this topic on Thursday. The choice of the infinity norm can appear restrictive. In effect, this is somewhat true. So we will give another more general condition for convergence of local type for a general method. So next time we will see another general condition, and then we will end with some detail regarding the most used method, which is the Newton-Raphson method. Okay, we stop here. Domande?